talk tonight a little bit about Sfiras HaOmer, being that we are well into that process. Just to talk a little bit about how that works. Sfiras HaOmer b'zman hazeh, it's machlokas among the Rishonim, whether that's a mitzvah min haTorah or a mitzvah de Rabbanan. Clearly Sfiras HaOmer is from the Torah. The question of, in an era in which the Korban HaOmer is not brought, do we relate to this as still being a mitzvah min haTorah? That was the view of the Rambam. Or the view of many other Rishonim is that b'zman hazeh is a zecher l'mikdash, is a mitzvah de Rabbanan to help us keep remembering that surah when it's daraisa. But in any event, we know what the mitzvah entails one way or another, that each of the days between Pesach and Shavuos we should mark in a process of counting 49 days towards that Yontif of Shavuos, counting from the second day of Pesach. And the practice of how we do this is pretty straightforward, and there are some details about how this is played out that we're familiar with from our earliest days of schooling. We're taught the basics of how this plays out. But the concept behind why we do what we do is far more complicated and is subject to a number of disputes, a number of machlokasim, and the explanation of how we relate to those machlokasim, as we'll see, is grounds for much fruitful discussion. So let's start off talking in four steps. Step number one. There is a machlokas between Tosfos and the Bahag concerning when we count sphere. Everyone agrees that ideally we will count the sphere at night. However, what if you don't count at night? Can you count during the day? So the view of the Bahag was that you can count during the day. And Tosfos disagrees. This is a Tosfos that appears in Maseches Menachos on Daf Samach Vav, as well as in Maseches Megillah on Daf Chaf. That's Machlokas number one. Can you count during the day? Machlokas number two. What happens if you miss a day? So here the Bahag is the Machmir. The Bahag says that because the Torah tells us that the weeks of Sfirah should be Tamimos, Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos, therefore they have to be perfect. And you can't miss any days. So that's step one, just to record these two machlokasim that we find in the Rishonim. Can you count during the day? And can you keep on counting if you miss a day? So what do we do in practice? So step number two, what do we do in practice? We do count during the day if we don't count at night, but without a bracha. If we miss a day, then again we count without a bracha. If we miss days, but those days we counted during the daytime, then afterwards, the following days, we let you count with a brach. And again, that's what we learned in the earliest days of schooling that we're all familiar with. So the question is why? Why do we take that approach to the two machlokasim that we mentioned in step one? So step three is the traditional hesber of this approach and of the machlokas and involved. Traditional hesber, Prima Gadim and others, is that the question here of whether you can keep counting if you miss a day is based on the question of whether Sfiras HaOmer is to be understood as one large mitzvah with 49 parts, or is it to be understood as 49 separate mitzvahs? The assumption being that if it's all one big mitzvah, so then it's like one big bubble, and if there's a break anywhere in the bubble, the whole thing bursts. And therefore, the mitzvah is finished. Mitzvah is no good. So the assumption being that the view that you can't miss any days, that's based on seeing the soul as one big mitzvah. And the view that you can miss a day and keep counting again after that is based on the assumption that it's 49 separate mitzvahs. That's the first part of step three, the first part of the traditional Hasbara. So now, why do we do what we do? Because in each case, counting during the day and counting after you've missed a day, you have a machlokas. Machlokas harishon. So let's count during the day without a bracha, for example, because we're trying to play it safe in a machlokas. We should count because either it's a suffik daraisa that is a mitzvah, or it's a suffik drabanan, but it's a easy drabanan to fulfill. So we have nothing to lose by counting. But we shouldn't make a bracha because since it's a suffik, suffik brachas lahakel. So we'll count without a bracha, the safest approach. So too, if we miss a day, same story. It's a suffix if we can keep counting. So we'll count. That's safe. But we'll leave out the bracha. However, if the only time we ever miss the day is on a day when we counted during the daytime, so then we can allow you to keep counting afterwards because of what we call a sfeik sfeika. Because here you can combine the two sfeikas. And different explanations how a sfeik sfeika works, but we'll just use one right now because it's the simplest. Just statistically speaking, and if you want to know if you can count, if you miss a day, so it's 50-50 that you can. There's one of you in Rishonim that you can't, and one of you in Rishonim that you can. However, even if we say that you cannot count if you miss a day, then there's still a view in Rishonim that you can count during the day. So therefore, the odds are now an extra 25% in your favor. So it's not a 50-50 suffix, it's a 75-25 that you can keep on counting. So, fake, fake, we'll let you keep counting. You could say it's even better than that. You could say it's really 100% because the same Bahag, the one who said you can't count if you miss a day, says you can count during the daytime. So you're pretty much totally covered. But in any event, that's the traditional Hesber. It's got three parts to it. That it's a question of whether it's one mitzvah or 49. We have these two machlokasin, which both of which end up to be a suffix. So in response to both, we count without a bracha. And if we combine the two, if we have a situation where we combine the two, so then essentially it's a sfeik sfeika, and we're allowed to be counted with a bracha. That's the traditional hazard. Step four is we'll now discuss an alternate Hesber that Rav Soloveitchik advanced. It's not just Rav Soloveitchik, the others have said this as well. And the Shailos and Shulas, Evan Yakara, he has this approach also, not as well known. The Lubavitcher Rebbe in his Chidushim V'Urim Al Hashas also pretty much does a very similar thing as well. But this approach really redefines how you would look at all of the Shailos pretty much in Sefer HaSalmon. Says the Rav, and those of similar explanations. Everyone really agrees that Sfira is 49 mitzvahs. They all agree that it's not one big mitzvah. Really? Then why does anyone say that you can't count if you miss a day? Says the Rav, no, it's not because it's all one big mitzvah. But it has to do with the definition of counting. That we should not assume that counting the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer, let's say on the 17th day of Sfira, that your mitzvah is to say today is day 17, just to say the words. That's not what the Torah says. The Torah says you have to count that day. So you have to count the 17th day. So counting presumes that you have marked all the numbers beforehand. For you just to randomly say 17, I can say the address of this building is 2540. It doesn't mean I have counted this building. I haven't counted all the numbers before 2540. I'm just taking note of its number. So counting will presume that I have counted all the days beforehand. So the Rav said, that's the whole secret here. That the reason I can't count if I miss a day, it's not because it's all one big package. Every day is discrete and distinct. But in order for me to count that day, I have to have marked the days beforehand. And if I haven't done so, then that doesn't count. Literally, it's not counting. So if that's the story, so then that explains everything differently. So we stop counting essentially, or we stop counting with a bracha if we miss a day because it's not called counting. Why do we count during the day without a bracha? Not because the suffix and we're trying to be safe. Rather, in the Rav's understanding, we count during the day, we don't make a bracha then because it's not a mitzvah. So we won't make a bracha because it's not a mitzvah at all. Well, wait a minute. So then why am I bothering to count? It's not a mitzvah, what am I doing? The answer is, what I'm doing is I am keeping up the structure of the count. Because I counted in the daytime, when I count the next night, now that's called counting. If I hadn't marked this day at all, I wouldn't be able to continue because I wouldn't have the structure in place. But now that I have marked the daytime, so now I can keep counting, even though I did it in a way that doesn't fulfill a mitzvah. But then, if I did that, I can keep counting afterwards because I have the structure in place. So the Rav's understanding puts things all in a completely different light. So what emerges now is that essentially the idea that you can't keep counting if you miss a day, whether that's accepted by halacha, or whether it's accepted partially, whether it's accepted completely, it certainly plays a role in our halachic practice. So essentially the question is, why is that? What is the issue with counting after you miss a day? So the traditional hasbro we see is that it's because sphira is all one big mitzvah. And if you miss a day, the whole package is kaput. And according to the Rav, that's not the case. But sphira is 49 separate mitzvahs. And the only reason you can't count if you miss a day is because after that it won't be called counting. So what difference does it make whether you take one explanation or the other? So it affects a number of issues. I'd like to just briefly look at some of the issues that are affected, some of the different ways in which it will make a difference whether you accept one hesber or the other. For example, let me ask you a question, which first sounds theoretical, like it doesn't have any practical ramifications, but if you think about it, you see it has practical nafkaminas as well. So let's say a person misses day 12. Okay, so from here on in, he can't count the bracha anymore. What about all the days he counted already? Are they wasted? Are they nothing? So according to the traditional hesber, sounds like they are. Sounds like the whole mitzvah is all one big package. And the same way you can't count from here on in, so the first days also don't count for anything. Now, maybe there's nothing you can do about it. It's all in the past. So that's why it sounds theoretical right now. But on the surface, that's what it seems like.
Right?
So would that mean it would be a bracha levatala? So probably not. There are two makaris that are often quoted on this type of question. One makar is a ritva in Chulin. It says that if somebody washes because he plans on eating bread, and he plans on eating enough bread to wash on, and he makes the bracha, and then afterwards he decides that he's not so interested in bread, and he doesn't really eat enough to justify the bracha until Sinayim. So we don't call that a bracha of a talib, because when he was washing, he was mechuyav. It turned out later that he didn't want to have that much. Similarly, there is a Tshuvas Chasam Sofer who rules that when somebody is mafresh truma, so you make a bracha on the truma, and then afterwards you decide you want to be shoel on the hafrash, you want to cancel this, you don't want it to be truma anymore. So should we worry that the bracha that you made is now a bracha levatala? So the Sam Sofer said no, that at the time that you made it, so it was a necessary bracha. Afterwards, it turned out that you didn't happen to really be a truma. Doesn't matter, when you made it, the bracha was justified. That's not called the bracha l'tal. So let's assume, at least for that purpose, that the bracha l'tal won't. But you know, that's kind of a saving grace after the fact. But it seems like those first days, according to the traditional Hesber, were all wasted effort. Well, according to the Rav, it wouldn't be the case. Because the problem with counting when you miss a day is only after the missed day. But the days up until then are all good. So those days should all count. And therefore, those retroactive days are not going to have a problem. So again, so say, well, my dehava hava, what difference does it make? And it's all in the past anyway. So it's good for you to know, just so you can comfort yourself, but at least you had those first days. Well, the point, what can you do about it? So it actually does have ramifications, because what if, for example, let's say somebody knows from the beginning of Sfira that he's going to miss a day. It's hard to come up with a scenario. Let's say, for example, somebody knows they're going to have a surgery that's going to knock them out for more than 24 hours. So they know they're going to miss a day. So maybe we should tell them they shouldn't start counting, because the brachas will all turn out to be levatala once, or almost levatala, once it turns out that he hasn't completed the sphere. Or let's say it's less absolute. Let's say he is 127 years old, and for the past 114 years, every single time he missed it after the third day. So there's a pretty strong chazaka he's not going to make it through. So maybe we should say then, all right, he's established a pattern, it's not a good idea for him to start counting with the brachas. I'm not getting into that. I'm saying with the chazaka that you know, he's missed for so many years, right? So maybe that's already more than 37 cycles of chazakas, that should already establish that he's likely to forget. So maybe you should tell us as a person not to start counting. So this is going to depend on this whole question of how you review those days. So according to the traditional explanation, maybe that's a concern. And according to the Rav explanation, you wouldn't necessarily have to worry about that, because as far as you get, those days are mitzvos. And it only becomes a problem once you hit a bump. This is also related, this is very practical, this is also related to the Mishnah Berurah suggestion. The Mishnah Berurah advises women not to count Sfira with a bracha. Why not? So let's assume for now that Sfira is a mitzvah sasei shas b'ayin gram. It's actually a topic of machlokas harishonim, but we won't get into it right now. But it does sound like it's a mitzvah sasei shas b'ayin gram. So if that's the case, so women should presumably be pturos. So even if that's the case, they should be allowed, at least according to Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazi Rishonim are of the opinion, like Rabbeinu Tam, that women can volunteer to do a mitzvah saseh shas man grama and to make brachos on them. They can take a lulav, they can take an esrog, they can sit in a sukkah and make a bracha on it. So therefore they should be able to volunteer to do sfira and make a bracha on that as well. So what's the problem? The problem is there's a concern they might miss a day. Men might miss a day as well. That's their mechuyav, so they have to. But if women aren't mechuyavos, so maybe it's not a good risk to take on voluntarily and end up risking that all the brachas she makes until that point would then be somewhat levatal. So again, that's only if you assume that that's the case, that once you miss a day, in both directions it becomes a problem. But if we say it's just the issue of counting, and therefore the days before the missed day are okay, so then this concern wouldn't really come into play. That's one major area in which traditional Hesber versus the Rav's Hesber is going to make a difference. I'll tell you a second area. Here it's the question of explanation, but it's very interesting. You're confronted with the following challenge. Let's say a person goes to shul in a shul where they're davening Ma'ariv before Shkia, after Plag HaMincha. So this is most likely to happen, let's say, on a Friday. In theory, it could happen any day of the week, but let's say, you know, so often around here find Ma'ariv Minyanim before Shkia, but let's say you're going to a Ma'ariv Minyan before Shkia, they have to block. So it happens to be, it's a little bit of an issue when the earliest time for Sefira HaSomer is. We could talk about whether it's Shkia or whether it's Seis, which is probably affected by the question whether it's Daraisa or Darabonim. But it's probably nighttime. But there is a Minari Tzad that Plag HaMincha is also the time that all mitzvahs of the night on some level maybe begin at all, or maybe on some mitzvahs the Plag HaMincha is the starting point. So maybe there's a tzad that Plag HaMincha is a valid time as well. So let's say in the shul where you're going to go to, they're going to daven Ma'ariv early and they're going to count Sefira. So now you have the following challenge. If I count with the shul, so I'm counting in a very b'di'evid way. And presumably I wouldn't be able to count again later once I counted already. But if I say I'm going to be from me and I'll wait till after it says, so then I run the risk that maybe I'll forget completely. We talked about a similar thing. We talked about the reason why Dima LeMitzvahs. That, you know, if the reason is motivated by missing a mitzvah, then we should say that should be the highest priority. Right? So if I'm looking at possibly missing Sefira, not only for tonight, but for the whole rest of Sefira, so maybe it's better for me to take this b'di'evit time and say it earlier and not run the risk of missing my whole year's worth of Sefira. So there is an approach that will hedge your bets. And the question is, how do you understand this approach? The Beis Yosef quotes from the Machzor Vitri, from Rashi, and this approach is also brought in the Shulchan Aruch, and it's a little hard to understand. That Rashi, and again Shulchan Aruch advocates this, would, according to this testimony, count Sefira after Plag without a bracha. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that then, if you remember after dark, you can count then with the bracha. This is a very hard idea to understand. Because if you're accomplishing something by counting at Plag HaMincha, so then how do we let you count again later with a bracha? And if we say that you're not accomplishing anything, so again, the question is, why are you bothering? So the Magen Avraham explains in a way that will fit together with the traditional explanation. Doesn't have to, but will fit with it. That this is based on the controversial principle of Tanai B'mitzvahs. That you have a conditional mitzvah. That one can make a deal with himself as follows. That he will count the Plag HaMincha, and he'll say, if I remember to count later, what I'm doing now should be nothing. And therefore, I should be able to count again later as if for the first time. And if I forget to count later, then this should count as my mitzvah. So it seems like a pretty foolproof trick if you assume that it works, which again is a little bit of a debate, but the Shulchan Aruch accepts the principle of a Tanai B'mitzvah. There's a whole discussion that Yigantif and others have about whether this concept exists, let's assume it exists. It also ties in, have we talked about Mitzvah Shrichas Kavanis here? I don't remember. But it ties into the whole concept of Mitzvah Shrichas Kavanis. A whole separate discussion we'll talk about a different time. So essentially what's going on is I make this deal with myself. So it makes sense why I don't make a bracha earlier and I make a bracha later, because earlier I don't want to make a bracha because first of all it may turn out to be nothing, it may be cancelled by what I do later, and it's machlok if you can even count now, so maybe you don't want to make a bracha then. And later on I can make a bracha because the very fact that I'm counting then negates my earlier count, so therefore I don't have to worry that I'm coming into a space that was already counted. But according to the Rav, you could say completely differently. You could say that, no, when you count the Plag HaMincha, you don't make a bracha because we're not accepting Plag HaMincha as a time at all. So wait a minute. So then, what are you accomplishing? That was our whole question to begin with. If you're not accomplishing anything, so why are you counting then? So according to the Rav's Hasbris, so we see, what are you accomplishing? You're accomplishing that you can mark the day. It's not yet the Zman of the Mitzvah, but it's close enough that you can mark it as the time for that day. And then, if it turns out that you missed the day, at least you'll have a count in progress. So this introduces us to the idea that we've already seen now some examples of where you can count without a fulfillment of the mitzvah. This takes it to a step that's not necessarily on the day itself, that you can come within proximity to the day, and you can say, okay, there that day, I am marking it, and that will also help preserve the count, even though it won't be the mitzvah of Sfira Soma. So this could also be related. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a view of Rav Haigon, which doesn't seem to be accepted in practice, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, that if one is about to start the 29th day, and he realizes that he didn't count day 28, then at that point he can say, yesterday was 28, today is 29. So there, apparently, the notion is the same thing, that just like you can mark the day from right before, you can mark it from right after also, and through that, keep up the count. So here again, you find, here it's not a question much of practice, it's a question of explanation, but you find the two approaches yielding two different explanations of this aspect as well. Another factor to keep in mind, another issue to discuss. This is more practical because this affects 1/7 of the Jewish population at one point in their lives. It's a question that was popularized by the Menchas Chinuch. What happens to a bar mitzvah boy or a bas mitzvah girl, let's say, who have their birthday in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer? Right, so statistically, it's almost 1/7 of the population will have their birthday then. And during the bar mitzvah year, it means they're going to become an adult in the middle of the sphere. So presumably, all the days before the birthday are as if they weren't obligated in mitzvahs. I mean, is that they weren't obligated in mitzvahs. So therefore, if we assume that the act of a cotton is not called a mitzvah, which is a little bit of a question which won't get into now. Let's assume that for now, that the act of a cotton is not called a mitzvah. So therefore, when he becomes bar mitzvah, he's essentially just starting then. So if an adult were to tell me he missed the first 23 days of Sfira and now he wants to start on day 24, we'll say he can't do that. So a bar mitzvah boy who essentially does the same thing on day 24, so what's his story? Is he allowed to count with a bracha? So this is a very popular question that Menchas Chinuch brought up, but it was clearly very relevant and a topic of much analysis, much discussion. Kavit Kashesi, but there's a whole debate about this. So without going into all the different hesberim, of which there are many, many, we'll just mention, broadly speaking, there are essentially three schools, lemaisa, about how to relate to this. On the one hand is the Machnirim, the Avnei and others, who maintain that he can't count. Just like we said, he's no better off than an adult who missed the first 23 days. So neither a bar mitzvah boy, nor a little bit less frequent occurrence, a ger, who enters Judaism at that point, neither one is able to start counting that year. They have to wait till the next year. On the other extreme, we have the Mekilim. The Mekilim maintain that, yes, they can count. It's a little bit harder to relate to the Svara, but they say basically that the Tmimus issue, Tmimus means that you do everything you're Mechuyev. So, if you're only Mechuyev from day 24, so then 24 to 49, that's your Chiyev this year. That's perhaps a little bit more of a stretch. But in between, there's a kind of a compromise that works very well with the Rav's Hasbara, and this is what the Rav would presumably maintain as well, that the bar mitzvah boy can count as long as he was counting already from day one. If those first 23 days they weren't mitzvahs, he was a child then, doesn't matter. as we've seen throughout, it's possible to have a count without a status of a mitzvah. And therefore, if he did that count, which preserves the structure, therefore you should be able to count afterwards as well. This is also relevant. A question was raised. You know, the Bihud and others discussed, let's say somebody, Rachmal Aslan, is an Oni, somebody loses a relative, and between the Misa and the Kvura is called Aninus, is exempt from all mitzvos, and we assume that means practically he should not do mitzvos. So, what if that period of time lasts more than 24 hours? So, does this individual have to forfeit his sphira because he can't perform mitzvos during that time? So according to the Rav, so he has a good suggestion. Let him count during the daytime. It won't be a mitzvah, but it'll preserve the structure so he can come around and count after. Hi.
Should we wait till the nighttime where it's for sure that this is going to be a derabana?
It's an interesting cheshbon to throw into the equation.
The daytime is
a sign of mitzvah, that's the and nighttime will be a mitzvah. So if we assume the Yadavka shouldn't do mitzvahs, so
then daytime is Dereis and nighttime is Dereis.
Assuming that you accept that whole story, which is also a little bit machlokas as well. So a lot of fake is still going through it, but probably still works better to count during the day. Okay. Yes, sir.
Gary, we did the same thing, knowing he was going to convert.
Yeah. Somebody told me yesterday that Maaseh Shahi was involved with the Geiris, and just, you know, this week, and that the individual was counting from the beginning. He told him to keep counting afterwards. Okay. Probably a fascinating Shaila that's discussed in the Chuvus Evan Pina and others. It has many, many sub-issues involved. We'll just touch upon it. There is a machlokas. Haposkim is a discussion with Magen Avraham and others whether you can fulfill Sfiras HaOmer through Shemaya Kohanim. We're not talking about the bracha. Everyone agrees you can do the bracha through Shemaya Kohanim, and that's what somebody might do if he's not sure whether he's still in the game or not. Maybe he'll hear the bracha from somebody else. But let's talk about the sphere itself. Can you fulfill the sphere itself through listening to somebody else? So that was a debate based on the fact some wanted to make a drasha. The Torah says, "Usfartem lochem." Maybe it means you have to count for yourself. But maybe Shemaya Kohanah is called counting for yourself. We talked about Shemaya Kohanah this year. So you saw the whole discussion by Shemaya Kohanah, whether you're yotzei with the individual, whether it's like you're doing it yourself. So maybe it is called doing it yourself. But Al Atzad, that Shemaya Kohanah is called doing it through somebody else. So there were those who maintained that, no, that's no good for sphere. Sphere means you have to do it yourself, not be yotzei for somebody else. So that itself is a whole discussion. But let's assume that you can do sphere somer through Shemaya Kohanah. So let's say, I'm a big fan of those sphere somer. So every night for the first 3 weeks, I go to Dov's house, I follow him to Arizona during Chol HaMoed, and wherever I can, to hear his sphere, to be yotzei with his sphere. Then on day 22, I go on vacation somewhere else for a week. So I'm counting sphere on my own for those 7 days. Then I come back on day 28, I say, Dov, I'm back to hear your sphere. And he says, oh, bad news, day 22 I missed, I'm out. So that's bad news for him. Question is it bad news for me also? But maybe we should say that, oh, we've seen now the Mafreya's first 21 days were no good. I was yotzi with him. So even though I haven't missed any days, practically, maybe my first 21 days don't count, maybe I'm also out of the game. So you see that combines many of the various issues, both within Shemaya Kohanah and Sfiras HaOmer, so it's a very fun Shaila to talk about. But practically speaking, again, we if you accept the Rav's Tazberg, you're not going to have a problem. If you don't, you still have enough Sfakis to put together with that Shaila, it's probably still not a problem. There is also a discussion which is similar to this. The Palamara, the end of Pesachim, raises the question why it is that we don't have Sveika Diyoma by Sfiras HaOmer. If we have a Sveika Diyoma by Pesach, so maybe we should have a Sveika Diyoma by Sfiras HaOmer as well. So the Palamara has his own terrors to that, but the Dvar Avram has a suggestion that maybe Sveika Diyoma is completely inconsistent with the idea of Sfira. That Sfira, as we saw throughout this whole Yisod, that Sfira is not just about saying today is day 7. But it's about counting day 7. So maybe counting by its very definition has to be definite. That there's no such thing as counting. We're saying today is 7 or 8, maybe 9. Just even though in theory, if the mitzvah of Sfira was just to say today is day 7, so I said it. But if the mitzvah of Sfira is to count it, so then maybe I have to know for sure what day it is. So it's a big question whether that is accepted by halacha, because that could pose some complexities. First of all, what if a guy is really misupak? And he says, okay, he doesn't know, so he wants to count both to be sure. So would he go so far as to say he's not Yotze? And if you really want to be machmer on that, then Chassitzchak and others talk about this, then maybe I go even further. Maybe if a guy just says, okay, I think it's day 13, but I'm not sure. And he counts day 13. And the next day, it turns out he was right. We'll say, it doesn't matter he was right, but it doesn't count because he wasn't sure. That's that'd be a big chumrah. I don't know if anybody would really go so far, but it's a discussion in Sfarim based on this whole idea. There is a Beis HaLevi that many quote. The Beis HaLevi, if you look at it inside, the Beis HaLevi says this B'lashon Safek, but many quote him as saying it, but he says it as a Safek. That we saw that there's machlokis where the Sfiras HaOmer is the Reis or the Rabbanon. So there is a split position that's also possible, I mean Yeruchim. Because the Gemara says in Menachos that mitzvah l'mem niyome, mitzvah l'mem nishvue. It sounds like it's two mitzvahs, a mitzvah to count the days and a mitzvah to count the weeks. So the Rabbeinu Yeruchim suggests that maybe we could say a chiluk, the counting the days is menat Torah, but counting the weeks is the Rabbanan. So based on the notion that it's two separate mitzvahs, so the Beis HaLevi thought maybe you could say that counting the days, if you miss the days, so you're out of that count, but you haven't missed a weekday yet, you haven't missed one of the days in which the weeks are finished, maybe on those days you can keep counting with the bracha, because maybe you have that separate bracha. But our minig, in any event, is to count the days and the weeks. So therefore, some suggest, and Mishnah Berurah has this discussion, that it'll help you. We know the Shulchan Aruch says already you should be careful not to, somebody asks you what day it is, you shouldn't say today is the fifth day before you count, because maybe that'll count as counting. And then maybe you won't be able to count without a bracha afterwards. So Mishnah Berurah discusses that maybe since our practice is to say, you know, today is 3 weeks and 4 days, or, you know, to say today is 25 days, which is 3 weeks and 4 days, so if somebody asks you and you say today is 25, and you don't say that whole nusach, so maybe that shows you have kavana not to be yotze. So then the question is, if that's what's going on, so what if somebody asks you the day, and you say the day, with this presumed kavana not to be yotze, and then you forget to count later? So can you keep counting afterwards? So here again, maybe the Rav saves us by having this idea that you can count and mark the day without the mitzvah. Maybe it should be helpful, at least for that purpose. The whole idea of Shemei Ka'ona, by the way, it's also interesting because there is a discussion. We'll get into that, but there's a discussion in Poskim that is there any saving heter maybe for somebody who forgets to count a day if that person happens to be the rabbi of a shul, because he could be then exposing himself to some major business if the policy is that the rabbi of the shul counts Sfira out loud every night. So is there a heter for him to keep counting under those circumstances with the bracha? So there are some studies that maybe so, that maybe the Kavod HaBriyos component comes into play. But it's an interesting question there also, if the Shemei Ka'ona, if he's being motzi everyone else in the bracha, which isn't necessarily the way they do it, but then can he be motzi then? And can he be motzi them even if he is not still in the game? Maybe they're in the game and he's not. Maybe he can be motzi them. Maybe that's called a bar chiyuva. Technically, he's chayiv. He just cannot fulfill this mitzvah anymore because he missed a part. Maybe he can still be motzi people who are going on. So a lot of interesting sfeikas, which we won't get into all the details, but that's all ripe for discussion. So there's a lot more to say about this, but we'll wrap it up pretty soon. Just say one point of drush, maybe, that this whole question we're discussing here, whether Sefiras HaOmer is one big mitzvah, whether it's 49 mitzvahs, and we're above saying that according to everybody, really, it's 49 mitzvahs. So we know the whole period of Sefira is marked with this Avelos, which the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos is connected to the fact that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim died during this time. Says the Gemara, Al Shleinogu Kavod Zelazek. They didn't treat each other with proper kavod. And of course, it's a very shocking idea. Why should this be? And Rabbi Akiva was the one so associated with the idea of Yahav Tlareach Kamalka. Is it really shaykh that they're going to all forget that? So perhaps the Indian is that no, it's not shaykh that they don't care about people. But maybe what's going on is that to think that, okay, I'm on my way to Rabbi Akiva Shir, I gotta keep my eye on the prize, it's the biggest thing in the world. So if I have to knock over somebody on my way to get there, or push somebody out of my way, or cut somebody in line so I can get the Shir on time, so I can be in front, so it's a shame, but nice, I gotta focus on the prize, gotta focus on the biggest thing in the world. So maybe the whole message of Sefira is on the way to Kabbalah Satorah. So we don't say, okay, I got my eye on that, and nothing along the way really matters as long as I'm focusing on the destination. So the point is that, no, that all these steps, the 49 days along the way to Kabbalah Satorah, everything along the way is important. Everything that happens between here and there is crucial also. And to just say, well, I'm only paying attention to that, doesn't matter who I knock over on the way, that's a fundamental flaw in our approach in Kabbalah Satorah. And on that note, I'll just mention that there is a suffix in the Tshuvas Minchas to Lazar, who, similar to this whole question we've been asking until now, if you can enter Sefira in the middle, under what circumstances? So the Minchas to Lazar questions that we assume that Bazman Azai, according to those who are shown that Sefira is the Rabbanan because there's no Korban HaOmer. So what would happen if the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt in the middle of Sefira? So would we say that it becomes Daraisa again in the middle? Can it switch from the Rabbanan to Daraisa in the middle? Can you start the mitzvah on the level of Manatara midstream? So it's a good question. Could be dependent on all of the above. But in any event, let's just say that in this chus of our properly internalizing the message of Sefira, we should be Zaychir to such shaylos. Okay, so just to quickly chazer what we spoke about again, much more to say, but just to quickly chazer the key points. So we spoke about the two machlokasin that exist among the Rishonim concerning Sefira. Can you count during the day, and can you count if you miss a day? And then we talked about what we do, that we count during the day without a bracha, we count if you miss a day without a bracha, but if you count during the day, then we let you resume with a bracha after that. And the traditional hesber of that is a question here of whether it's one mitzvah, whether it's 49 mitzvahs, and as far as each of the machlokasin, we treat it like a suffix, so count, but don't make a bracha, the suffix bracha is lahakel. Unless you did both together, then it's a sfeik sfeik, so what you can do after that. And the Rav and the Evan Yekara and the Lubavitch Rebbe all understood differently. And they understood that, no, the issue is that everyone agrees that it's 49 separate mitzvahs, and the reason you can't count two mitzvahs is that's not called counting, and therefore you count during the day without a bracha in order to maintain the count, and that's why you'd be able to resume afterward. And they mentioned various ramifications of two understandings. What would happen to the days before you missed? Nafkamina for somebody who knows who's going to miss, or somebody who's very likely to miss, or the Mr. Brewer's suggestion about women. We talked about the question of why it is that the Shulchan Aruch has a suggestion based on Machzor Vitri and Rashi that you can count or plag a mincha without a bracha, then count again with a bracha. Two ways of looking at that, either it's based on tnai b'mitzvah, or it's based on keeping the count without the mitzvah. We talked about the question of bar mitzvah boys and gerim who enter into Judaism or mitzvahs during the period of Sefiras HaOmer. Can they count from that point? We saw three schools of thought. Either they can count, or they cannot count, or they can count if they've been counting until then. And that was consistent with the Rav's explanation. We discussed the question of aninus. Maybe it's neitzah for the onin to count during the daytime without a bracha, and then resume after that. And then we discussed also the question of the Evan Pina's question about somebody who is being yotzei for somebody else, and then that person is out of the game. Does that affect them as well? We talked about all the related questions there about Shemei Ka'ona by Sphere, and we talked about the question about whether a rabbi who forgets Sphere, can he still count with a bracha in front of his congregation, and could he in theory be mostly anybody, interesting the implications of that. And then we talked about the question of the Beis Halevi's tentative suggestion that if the two mitzvahs, as we see from the Rabbeinu Yeruchim splitting the psak about the Reis and the Rabbanon by days and weeks, maybe if you missed a day but you didn't miss a weekday, maybe you can keep counting the bracha on the weekdays. And then we talked also about the Bala Mor's question about why there's no sfeik at the Yoma and the Dvar Avram's Tarets that you can't count the Misafik, and how that's similar to Yisod, and how that maybe also affects the question of somebody who Tak is not sure what day it is, or maybe if somebody, you know, only counts the right day but wasn't sure. I mentioned it's unlikely one would go so far, but that's based on that type of approach. And then we discussed a little bit this Alpidara Chadrush, that maybe the symbolism of every day in the middle of counting is part of the recognition of everything along the way, which was crucial to the process of Kabbalah Satara that the Akiva's Talmidim maybe were missing. And then we mentioned the Menchus Elazar Safek about if the Beis HaMikdash should be built in the middle of Sphira, would Sphira become Daraisa from that point on? And how that Lechara is also affected by all this previous discussion, and we said that the experience of Sphira should bring us to the stage where we should be Zoicha to have such hours. They should have a fantastic evening. How do you turn this off?
What's the point?